we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Redemption Church. It is wonderful to see everybody here today. Y'all really packed the house out for me. I appreciate that. Most of you didn't know I was preaching. That's okay. This afternoon here at church, at Redemption Church, you probably know me. It's a fair guess that you've met me before. In various and sundry ways, I could have sat next to you and made a goofy joke at Connect Group that made you laugh. I could have eaten all the food and you went to get the last piece of pizza and you were like, "What?" And then you saw me and I was like, "Oh, I don't know. I guess Will must have eaten it." I could teach your kids in various things about the Lord and probably PG-rated movies. There are a lot of ways that you and I could be connected. Today will go with the title of Pastor at Redemption Church, as I have been for quite some time. Due to my gifting, I work with people both in our Treehouse program, with the young people in the back that Marshall alluded to earlier, also our Goal Youth ministry. And so I've served in that capacity for a lot of years through Redemption Church. And before that, I had been involved in volunteering for a long, long period of time, all the way back to junior high, where I was teaching 4- and 5-year-olds about Jesus and explaining to them how to play the game Dirt, which is a game where you lay on the ground and are as quiet as possible because dirt doesn't make noise. And then the kid would get up and I'd say, no, dirt doesn't move. There's no wind in here. You stay seated. And so obviously I'm very good at that. Obviously also those 4- and 5-year-olds are now old because I am older. And I actually have the great honor of officiating a wedding in November of this year for a child that the last time I saw them, I had taken them to the bathroom. And they were holding the end of the urinal and swinging on the bottom of the urinal in the stall next to me. That's how short they were. Tiny little kid. And he's so jazzed that I'm going to marry him and his wife next later this year. So thank God for Facebook, right? We keep in touch. So done all these things. When you're a youth minister, you hang out with kids all the time. And you think to yourself, man, being a parent is easy. And you see the kids, and the kids are like, oh, I'm so mad at my dad. I'm so mad at my dad. He doesn't know anything. And you say, oh, what's he griping at you about? And they say, I keep playing sports, and I keep getting injured. And my dad's mad at me, and he wants me to stop playing sports. And I'm like, oh, wow, what a bummer. It's a bummer. And I'm like, didn't you say your dad was kind of between jobs right now? And they're like, yeah. I mean, he's between jobs right now. And I'm like, okay, so he's probably on Cobra insurance, and it's probably not great that you keep getting injured. And you unravel the thing, and you figure out the mystery, and you help the kid communicate with their parents. But when I had my own kids, I realized that it's a whole different ball game when they come home with you. And when you're the guy who such a jerk and nobody gets it, and oh, Lord, give me someone that is more talented than I to communicate with my children. So time flies when you're having fun. We've been working with kids for a long time. I'm also a dad. You may not know that because you haven't seen my kids around here very much. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Today I'm going to talk about my kids more than I ever have in a professional capacity. So I'm going to lay some ground rules, okay? Everybody good? All right. You don't have to amen that, but I am not God's gift to parenting. That's number one, okay? Far from it. I don't know what I'm doing most of the time, and a lot of the people who act like they know what they're doing, I would hold that they probably are acting. And so kids are surprising and crazy. Two, I have 3 children. 2 of them have special needs, autism spectrum disorder, okay? I'm going to discuss that a little bit today. I don't do this because I'm looking to tug at your heartstrings, because I'm like, oh, man, we're going to talk about something that
bums people out, so now they're going to listen, and then they're going to cry, and Jesus is going to save them.
No, that is not the case. Today, I'm discussing God's care for us as a father, and as I unpack it, you'll understand why it's applicable. Okay, we good on that? Sweet. Three, I am not attempting to gain pity or promote myself as credible simply because at times things that I go through are tragic. I want to make sure everybody knows that. It's my belief that as time progresses, our situation will continue to get better. It's gotten so much better from the time you might have met my kids first. And if you end up watching this video on YouTube, archived on our website, or in hologram form in the year 20, probably like 18, they'll have holograms going. But if you end up watching it, I am believing that some of the things that we discussed today will no longer be an issue. Amen. So now that's been said, again, I am a dad. I have children. I never wanted to have kids. Never did. Not my whole life. I have a little touch of the anxiety, depression, a little touch of it, and it makes processing complex emotions like frustration, anger, and sadness a little harder than, you know, it might be for the average Joe. And for the entirety of our marriage, my wife and I have been on birth control, and all three of our surprises came anyway. So this gives me a unique perspective to offer to young people in the fact that literally the only way to not have children 100% is abstinence. I have beaten a $600 IUD. It has happened. The baby grew behind it. So we can talk about that in a second. You can rarely ever afford children, and they are very stressful and frightening when you have them. But they're also the most wonderful thing in the whole world, and we'll get to that. So I didn't want to have kids. When Ian's my oldest son, there he is. He's a lot bigger than that now. When Ian was born, I was so afraid, and I didn't know what would happen. He was a handful, but quickly became my favorite thing. My favorite thing in the whole world. He's so fun and so silly, and he did silly things all the time. He'd wake me up in the middle of the night, and he'd have plugged in a lamp, and he'd be walking around with a lamp in the dark going, back, 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 back. He's hilarious. One of his most funny things he ever did was one morning he had stayed up all night because he was so compelled to be focused on things and stay up all night. And he stayed up all night, so my wife was exhausted. She took a nap at 5 o'clock in the morning because that's when she was getting a nap. And I took a shower because I had to go to work. And he decided to unlock the door and let himself out of our house and go to the park that we'd never taken him to because he saw it one day. His little computer brain zeroed in on it, and he said, sure, I'll go to the park. Sounds great. 6 o'clock in the morning sounds great. No clothes on? Sure, why not? Oh, I have to cross hot pavement and water? Water. I have to cross all those things there? Yeah, on it. Do I never go outside? Sure, I'll get there. Terrifying. If you can imagine all this sprinting through an apartment complex at 6:30 in the morning, screaming, Ian, Ian, Ian. It was upsetting. And then the end of it is, he's in the police car with a toy bear, and he's like, police car, police car, police car. And I'm sweating and late for work is crazy. So Ian, he's my favorite thing. He's a handful. He was a handful from the beginning. So then when we found out we were pregnant again, it was a shock, but one was going pretty good. And so we embraced Maxim, our son Maxim. And my favorite thing, that's a very recent picture, like 3 days ago. So he's almost six in that picture. So one favorite thing grew into my favorite things. I had two of them. And so at two or so, we started to notice little things that separated Ian from his peers. Little learning development things. He walks on tiptoes like this, higher than I can as a large person. It's hurting my calves to do it now. He has walked on tiptoes since he was able to walk. Only tiptoes. Cannot walk flat foot. Took him to the doctor, and he had to weigh himself, and he got on the thing with the feet, and the nurse said, he's going to have to stand like normal. And I looked at him, because I never take him to the doctor, his mom does. And I looked at him, and I was like, And he looked at me and he was like, and I was like, okay. And I pushed it down and I let go. And he looked at me and he's like, and just went right back up. And I was like, okay, this is going to be a weird doctor appointment. But he walks on tiptoes. That was a big sign. There are a lot of signs. You say things to him, he just kind of didn't notice things. And one famously remembered night, I went back to our apartment in Wiley, and I found my wife crying on the floor. And she looked up at me and said, in a most famous way that is a landmark in our marriage, she said, I think there's something wrong with Ian. And we said, okay, well, we need to figure out what that is. So we continued to keep our eyes open about these things. There's a cool thing that the public school does called early childhood intervention. You can get your children into that, and they'll help them out before they get a full diagnosis. We also were blessed to have my best friend when I was 12 in Round Rock, Texas, randomly moved here to start a speech and pathology lab for special needs children. So that worked out pretty good. So he was working with him a little bit, trying to figure things out. And so that was going well. Business was usual with that sort of thing, and we just kind of kept moving through it. At 3, that's the age that they diagnose people as autistic. They give you the official stamp. Ian got diagnosed as autistic, and nobody was surprised. When we went to the thing where they handed it out, the public school thing, everyone around us was like, let me tell you, you cannot label my child. And the other person's like, will this go on his personal record? Everybody's like this. And I was like, oh, no, thank God there's answers. I'm not mad. This is what we thought was happening. This is just verification. Thank you. Let's get working on it. Let's see what we can do to help him get better. So that's weird. And it was weird. So Ian gets diagnosed as autistic at 3, and no one's surprised. About that time, Max is 2. And Max is having a lot of similar behaviors, a lot of the things that we saw before. And in kids, I believe the official statistic is that if you have a kid with a son with autism and you have a second boy, it's like 1 in 5 chance that your kid's going to have it, the second one is. And it goes up more for the third kid, but we'll get that later. So we were like, well, you know, maybe Max is autistic. Maybe he's just doing the same learned behaviors that his brother does. So we don't want to jump on anything or move to anything rashly. But I was really loud. I'm sorry. But we held off on checking out that stuff with Max. But sure enough, he actually has an even more severe and difficult version and case of autism. So time progressed. We figured out how to kind of manage to. About 2 years ago, Jacqueline got really sick, and I said, man, I bet you're pregnant. And she said, nope. And I said, what if you are, though? And she said, nope. We paid the most money we could for the most birth control we could, other than tying my tubes or getting a hysterectomy. We've done everything that we could to prevent this. We can't be pregnant. And I was like, but wouldn't it be weird if we were? And so we're at Walmart, and we got the test. And usually I'm the one who freaks out about everything. She's the one talking me off the ledge. And so we got the test, and she did it, and she was like crying. And I went and got her a chair out of the chair section at Walmart, and I was like, well, this is crazy. Let's do this. Let's figure it out. We went back to the doctor, and the doctor was like, how did this happen? And we were like, I don't know. And they were like, I'm so sorry. We're like, no, we're Christians, and we believe that life deserves a way, and this baby wants to be alive, and so let's do it. And they're like, cool, well, it's going to be $100 to take the $600 thing out. And I was like, get me on the way out. So, but we removed everything, and everything was good. And 2 years ago, in spite of all of our efforts, Jono was born about, like I said, about 2 years ago. We were so scared of Jono. That's him as Wicket, by the way, from Star Wars Return of the Jedi episode, whichever one it is. We were so afraid of Jono. Our first fear was like, it jumps up. What if he's autistic? How are we going to do 3? We can barely do 2. This is crazy. And being a boy with our family history, odds were super against him. Then, when those fears seemed unwarranted, and he seemed like he was doing pretty good, we quickly shifted to,
what's it going to be like to parent a normal kid?
By the way, in the autistic community or in the special needs community, you call normal people neurotypical. It's the PC word, neurotypical. I don't know, whatever. If you can't tell, I'm not a great special needs parent. It's mostly because whenever I look at articles about it, I cry hysterically, like at my desk at work, like ugly cry. Like somebody's like, post one of those videos that's like, this autistic kid went to the park and he saw a bunny. You'll never believe what happens next. And somebody, and I click it and I'm like, life. So I'm not always the most informed about these sorts of things. But I was like, how are we going to teach him stuff? The other one, we're just kind of like, we're trying to teach him stuff and it's really hard. What are we going to do if he like picks up on everything? We're like, is he going to feel shortchanged because we're having to spend so much time with his brothers? Like, oh no, what's going to happen? This is very scary. And I famously, in a moment of being way, way too over emotional, which we'll get to later, I famously said, this child may be the nail that goes in the coffin of our family. But it turns out he's the glue that holds us all together. He wants to be like the bad one. He wants to be like his brother Max. He's crazy. And he wants to jump off things and punch things and throw things. And he kicks really great. And he comes up to me and he says, Dada, Dada, every time he sees me. And he goes through my wallet and he takes everything out and throws it all over the room until he gets to my license and he goes, Dada, Dada, and he gets so excited. And for all intents and purposes, he is normal. And I'm happy to report that after 2 years of that, I have a third favorite thing. And Jono fits in great with our family. He's the best. We joke about these things because, like people who are in Vietnam joke about, like, getting shot at, you develop kind of a thick skin. And so if any of this makes you feel uncomfortable, I'm sorry. I wouldn't want it to make you feel uncomfortable, but I try to be as honest and open as I can. And really, we are going to be spiritual very soon. So Jono's not going to get a lot of attention this sermon because of the fact that Ian and Max, man, they are some great examples today. But, you know, Jono might be too real soon. So, wink, wink, he might become an example in a sermon when he starts getting terrible. You know what I'm saying? Anyways, autism manifests in a lot of different ways. And it's considered a spectrum disorder. If you've never heard of that, that means that there are all different kinds of things that can happen and all different ways that it can be. It's kind of like a Forrest Gump box of chocolates situation. Thank you, Marshall, and some others. Ian loves taking showers. He likes to take the showers I'm in, like literally physically take them from me and muscle me out of them and stay in them for hours and hours and hours and hours of showers. Max is physically harmed by showers. When water touches him, he screams like death, like the worst scream you can imagine a child making. Like the most horrible sound that your neighbors would call the police for fear of what you were doing to him when you were bathing him. Hysterical screaming. Toilet training was hard because the toilet is near the shower. And so we were having a hard time. But luckily, and this is like a thing that I don't touch on much in autism, sometimes they do crazy things that like really surprise you. Like my son just decided he was toilet trained. The one that, like, can't talk and growls. He just was like, oh, cool, I'm going to go do this. He stands on it like this, kind of weird. But, like, he figured it out. And he goes to the bathroom and the toilet. He goes, go potty, go potty, go potty. And he does it by himself. And I can take zero credit for that. I don't know why he's so good at it. He just happened. If you bring Maxim, two kids, Ian, Max. Ian, 7, Max, 6. If you bring Max a plate of sour cream chicken enchiladas with spicy hot sauce on it, he will clean the plate and eat all of it, every last bite. If you bring Ian a cheeseburger with ketchup on it, he'll take it and he'll go, yucky, like that. Now, if you make him a burger at home, and you give it to him plain, the way he likes it. You squish it so it's like McDonald's because it's cruddy. You hand it to him. He'll take it. He'll look at it. It's at home. He inspects it. Yucky. If you buy him the exact same burger at Burger King, he will take it. He will go, this is Burger King. And depending on his mood, he may say, yucky. Or he may be like, eh, it'll do. If you order 4 cheeseburgers, he will scream hysterically. If you order 6 cheeseburgers, he will scream hysterically. 5 is the magic number in our house. He knows if there's 5 that he can get 2, steal half of his brother's, and steal the half of his other brother's. And so he can eat like 1,000 cheeseburgers. He's so committed. Max sprints. He is fast. He is tiny. The reason you don't see him regularly at church is because we do not have a special needs teacher at Redemption Church, and we don't have 3 people to sit with him. He sprints. Like, if he gets away, I can't catch him. He runs so fast. One time he escaped our house and was running down the street, and my wife was screaming, please, please, someone stop him, someone stop him. And the crossing guard at the end of the street saw him, was like, hey there, son, go back to your mom, okay? Go back to your mom. You need to go see your mom because she's yelling for you. And he ran and sprinted and tried to jump down the drain, the sewage drain, for no reason. He just wanted to go down the sewage drain. And it was like the Matrix. Like, he ran and, like, slid and, like, was going into the drain. And the crossing guard jumped on him and stopped him. Tiny little kid, tiny, weighs like 4 pounds. Somebody eats all his cheeseburgers, you know what I'm saying? So, tiny little kid, he sprints and runs and jumps and climbs. He'll say, squeeze, squeeze. And you know real quick whether it's squeeze because he wants a hug or it's squeeze because he wants to use you to get to something as a ladder. Because he'll, like, just plop up on me like a pommel horse and, like, reach up to get something out of a box. It's crazy. He'll watch the same TV show over and over and over and over and over and over, but only 20 seconds of it. He rewinds it because he likes the way it sounds when they talk in Russian. And he'll just do it over and over and over and over and over. And usually that doesn't content him. He has to stand on the top of our shelves with one leg like this on an iPhone. It's insane. I have a picture of it. It's real. It's very bizarre. But he has great balance and never, ever gets hurt. He's a miracle. He's a wonder. He does this all the time. Ian likes to sit on the couch, as someone who eats 3 people's cheeseburgers likes to do. He likes to sit on the couch, and he likes to play games. And he likes to get really invested in games. He likes to focus on them. Max can't be bothered to watch a whole TV show, but Ian will sit there and play and just be like, oh, I just beat DuckTales. Oh, I just beat Super Meat Boy. A game I can't play. I don't know how to play Super Meat Boy. So hard. He's great at them. He likes to draw. He draws these beautiful pictures, and as soon as I look at him, I go, what's that? That's so pretty. And he goes, no, you can't see them, which is my next thing I'm working on, by the way. Because he went to my mom, and he was like, my mom was like, Nana, she was like, can I see your pictures, Ian? Can I see your pictures? He's like, here, Nana, you can see this one. And he handed it to her, and he's like, now take the rest and put them in the trash. Go ahead, Nana, I'll wait. And it was really awkward because he's afraid of other people seeing his pictures. So they look like each other, kind of. One's a little bigger, a little taller. One's a little smaller, a little shorter. They kind of have the same face. But they're so different. Ian seeks out communication with people. He goes to Half Price Books, and he sits next to a Jewish person reading a book, and he says, hey, man, I like your hat. Just out of nowhere. Just bust that out. He wants to communicate with people, and Max doesn't want to communicate with anybody unless he wants something at all. Could be fine not communicating with anyone. Ian puts his hand on people who are serving him at restaurants because he's like, hi, we're best friends. And a great way to lose a tip with our family is to revulse and go, could you please not have your child touch me? Because it freaks them out. They have special needs, and they call it special needs because they have special wants and desires. Things that they want to do that are different. Things that work for them that are different. They have, like, a different way of living and being. Max likes toys because he likes to group them in lines. That's it. He likes to make them in a line. He likes to look at it like this. He likes to look at it like this. And he likes to look at the line. And he likes to see, oh, this one's wearing a cape. And even though it's green and it fits with the green, people will put it in the capes. And he just endlessly reorganizes it. That's his favorite. These are my kids. Right? These are my kids, and they have been a minefield. But I love them, right? You love your kids. I love these guys. I look out for them. I take care of them. What they want is usually the number one thing I want. This was a problem for us at first because when they used to not be able to talk, when they started to be able to voice things they wanted, I was like, we need to buy that right now. We need to buy whatever they want right now. They want this. They told me they want this. We need to get this for them. This will make them happy. This is perfect. It's gotten a little bit easier now that the things they want are like a PS4 or to go to Disneyland. Thanks for all those commercials, Nicktoons and Disney. They want to do those things. But I love them and I look out for them because they're my children and they're my favorite things. They're blessings to me. They've been entrusted to me. And although in the early years, parenting them, their badness was able to pierce my armor and get right to my anger, their sweetness is able to pierce my armor and get right to my love. And that's real. That's a real thing. And it took me a while to get better at that. I care about them more than anything the world has to offer. And sometimes what they offer me is challenges, pretty regular. Ian's a sass mouth right now, and it makes me tired how much he sasses me. Max is just as likely to lay on the carpet and sing a cute little song as he is to shove a phone down a toilet and then fill it with the rest of my clothes. That could happen. It's a crazy thing. He's creative and crazy about it. If I was to break down a couple of things that happens that drive me nuts, it would be not listening and just going crazy. It's hard to talk to people that have children about saying that you don't have someone listen to you. Because if you have kids, you're like, duh, kids don't listen to you. But it's kind of a different place. It's like a communication issue with them. You can't make eye contact. Often, their brains will be firing on all kinds of cylinders, and they'll just, like, run around, and they see you. They see you. They look at you, and they see you as an obstacle to get around, to climb over, to run through, to run past. They're not zoomed in on you. It's hard to get people to sit down, get the kids to sit down without electronic devices to focus their attention on so that way they can be still. It's like he can manipulate it and move it. Max can manipulate the phone and move it as fast as his brain is going. And I tell him I love him, but he won't even parrot it back to me. Doesn't say I love you. That can be hurtful as a parent. That can be kind of sad. Ian wants to communicate but struggles with it. They say that autistic folks have a hard time looking at you and seeing how your face is and relating it to be what you mean, like that, finding the emotion in your face. So Ian will go, I'll say, don't do that. Don't say those things to your mother. You need to calm down. We're going to not have toys for the rest of the afternoon. And he'll come over and he'll grab my face. And he'll make me smile and he'll go, see, everything's better. You're smiling. See, you're smiling. Or he'll say, yeah, Dad, everything's cool. Nothing's broken in the back. Like that. Because of the fact that he's trying to manipulate the situation. He'll pull my face up and down. He'll go, can we go to the Bahamas? Yes. Like that. That can make me frustrated, but rarely yelling at him helps him understand anything. And it's like, as cheesy as it sounds, it's like puzzles. It's like problems, things you have to solve, things you have to put together. Sometimes you hear about meltdowns in the autistic community. They talk about that. It's like a temper tantrum you can't snap out of. Little bodies fill up with emotions and the inability to process things, and it just makes them freak out. And they might just jump and kick and scream, and they can't come back from it. And that's been particularly difficult training up our kids because there are times where it's not autism we're battling, but it's just rebellion because they're kids still. And so you have to figure out where autism ends and rebellion begins. And so that can be successful and unsuccessful sometimes. So these kids, they have great challenges, but I still love them, deadly serious with my heart and my soul. Now, why do I say all this? Scott, you talk forever, but you didn't say funny things. You said kind of bummer things. And we've been listening to you, and we're kind of like bought into this, but we're also kind of like, ugh. I say all this not to let you know why I'm always tired or why things are bleh. No, this is a sermon, and those were illustrations. The book says in Psalm 103, verses 13 through 14, Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. God loves you, okay? God loves you like a father loves their kids. Thank you. I agree. The way the psalmist likens it is the way the father has compassion for children. Compassion, I looked it up because I was like, I want to see what that word exactly means. Compassion is defined as sympathetic pity, concern for the sufferings and misfortunes of others. Synonyms for it being love, care, sensitivity, warmth, etc. God cares about you like a father cares about his children. In Romans 8:15 through 16, it says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." He's our heavenly Father, and he cares about you in this room. If you had a bad week at work and they told you better ship up or shape up or ship out, God still cares about you. If you had a bad week at this week and you did some things you're not proud of, God still cares about you. If you turned in your report card and it's got all A's on it, God still cares about you. God cares about us because we're his kids. We're God's kids and we have challenges too, right? Uh-oh, is he going to turn it around? Yeah, he might. We don't listen, am I right? We don't listen to God. Sometimes he whispers, the small whisper of the Lord. Sometimes he yells real loud, "Don't do that!" And you're like, "I just keep trying to book tickets to Vegas and I just can't get them booked. They're always out." And it's like, God's like, "Don't do that. It's not good." Not that Vegas is bad all the time, but sometimes it is. And you all know that. And I don't need to justify it. All right. We're like Max sometimes. We get all filled up with emotions. I do. And the things that stimulate us and the things, and we just run through the world. We run through the world and we don't see God. And when we see him as an obstacle that we need to climb around or under or over. We're like, "Oh man, God's really bumming me out today. I need to go do my thing." Difficult. We don't sit still. We don't listen to God. In that way, we're just like Max. I mean, it's hilarious. When I was writing this, I was like, we are focused on phones too. Y'all are doing great, by the way. Nobody in this room is like looking at the scores or anything. Y'all are killing it. I was like, I'm going to just be like, "And you, Sean Enfield, with the Texans game. And you." Just kidding. Sean loves the Texans and they are playing now. I hope they're winning. God bless. It's actually kind of funny. We're kind of like Ian, right? We're kind of like my son, Ian. We have a hard time trying to decipher what God says. And so sometimes we try to manipulate God's face to make it give us the desired outcome. Sometimes God will correct us and we'll just stare at him like this. Like it doesn't even go through. I'll say, "Ian, don't you understand that if you put the car in drive, that the car could go into places it's not supposed to go, like the front of that store?" And he's like, he doesn't get it. Sometimes God corrects us and we stare back at him blankly. I mean, if you think about the Bible is God shouting, "I loved you, I died for you, I want to give you everything," and we just stare at that blankly, right? Sometimes we all fall prey to this. If you got a pastor collar on or you got a whatever collar, you got some collars, you don't have a collar, you're wearing a t-shirt. We all do this. Sure, sometimes my kids don't feel loved. Sometimes we don't feel loved by God, right? Ian wants to go to Atlantis. Do y'all know what Atlantis is? It's a resort. They put it on TV. They're like, "Atlantis. It's so wonderful. You basically are underwater all the time in subdiver suits. Atlantis." He's so excited about going to Atlantis. He thinks that going to Atlantis, it's just somewhere you go, like on Wednesday before Connect Group. Like, "Hey, Dad, could you get off a little early and we could go to Atlantis?" He's famous for being like, "Hey, Dad, can we go to Idaho today?" I'm like, "No, we can't go to Idaho today." Because he doesn't understand the cost of everything. Plane tickets, hotel accommodations. I mean, my extended family went on vacation in Atlantis, and they spent $3,000 on food. $3,000 on food for 1 week. Family of four, they did not eat extravagantly. They usually are like Chili's kind of people. $3,000 on food for four people, that's crazy. But my son doesn't get that. He doesn't understand what money is. I just want him to trust me and understand that even though we're not going to Atlantis, I know best. And there's a reason why that's happening. God does that too. I've played the lotto once in a while. I've put a number in and paid $3 to our Texas education systems in hopes of winning bazillions. It's funny how you find yourself praying about the lotto when you don't pray about your hurt leg. But you find yourself saying to God, you're like, why doesn't God just give me $14.9 billion in the lotto? I mean, that's like $6.4 billion after taxes. Doesn't he know how much that would fix my problems? Doesn't God know how much good I'm going to do with the lotto? I have to trust God and understand he knows best, and good things come with time. They always have before. I've had great things happen to me, and they've come with time in my life. And just a little side note, if you win the lottery, the chances of you getting murdered by a family member go up really high. So, like, you might not want to win the lottery, and God may be saving you from that. So, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my continued contributions to the Texas schools. But I'm an equal opportunity discusser, and so I feel like it would be stupid for me to make jokes about the lottery and not talk about the times we pray for no-brainer things. My mom's sick. Dear God, please heal my mom. Right? Seems like that's a no-brainer. God should just be like, boom, and my mom's like, I got rhythm, right? Like, that would be perfect. But, man, I don't necessarily have, like, a great answer for that. I don't have all the answers, but I have to trust God, and I have to believe that even though we may not understand it, he knows best. I have a super weird story about this. If you have a question about it and you're dealing with something and you want to talk about it, you can ask me later. Good deal? Contracted to it? Cool. I don't want to put relatives' business on the internet. But I will tell you about it later. God knows best. So what I'm saying is that God probably feels and views my prayers for a Camaro like I would feel my son's request for me to buy him an Uzi would be. I'm like, God, please let me get a Camaro. And my son's like, can I please have a gun that shoots a million rounds a minute even though I'm seven? I just don't understand. I don't understand what God has in all of his plans. So we as people, we present great challenges, but God still loves us. Deadly serious, he loved us all the way to the cross. So why does this matter? Here are a few ways God shows love for his children. John 3:16, everybody know that one? Anybody? Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He gave his life in our place because he loves us. That's the gospel. I would give anything that I have to bless my kids. And if you have kids, you would too. You probably have. God loves us so much that he gave everything to bless us. 1 John 4:4. You can read it with me if you like. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. He has our back and is greater than anything the world can throw at us. We can be strong knowing that no matter what bully we got coming, Dad's going to back us up, right? And lastly, Romans 8:35 through 39, this is a long one. I'm going to read it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He loves us with the love of a father. He loves you with the love of a father. Fathers never truly stop loving their kids. things can get complicated. And you may have a weird relationship with your father, but your heavenly father loves you. As a father myself, I find myself, my wife's dad, her biological dad was never around for her, got deported when her mom was like 17 and pregnant with her. I have a hard time not thinking that he thought about her regularly. Even though he wasn't there, even though they had separate lives and he had like another girlfriend or whatever, I have a hard time believing he didn't think about her regularly. You think about your kids all the time. You love your kids. God loves you. You're on his mind. It's an unfailing love. It doesn't go away. And like it says, you can't be separated from it. So we got all this knowledge. We've unpacked these scriptures. We see throughout the Bible where Jesus has shown us these things. We see how God loves us. So what do we do with that knowledge? How do we respond? How can we make this applicable? So John 3:16 outlines it pretty good, right? The plan of salvation. We need to be thankful for that. We need to tell other people about that. Because it says in John 3:16, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We need to add to that list. We need to add to that list of people that will not perish but have everlasting life. He's going to save those that believe. 1 John 4:4 tells us we shouldn't be afraid, so we should do that. That's a hard one for me. I should get that like tattooed on my cheek so I see it in the mirror. That's a hard one for me, but we should not be afraid. There should be boldness, and we should trust God that he will have our back no matter what the struggle. And then Romans 8:35 suggests we can't be separated from his love, so we should run towards it and embrace it. The purity and blessing that comes with the love of the Lord is something we should be all up in. It's something we should be involved with regularly. So, Shelton, if you come play real quick. Lastly, we need to listen to him. We need to listen to the Lord. There's a lot of stuff that takes our attention. A lot. Especially now. A lot of stuff that takes our attention. We still need to listen to God. I can't tell you how many times I've told Ian I love him, and he says nothing back to me. If anything, this whole sermon writing process, putting this together, putting ink to paper, man, it's given me a pretty relatable image of God. Pretty understandable image of God. He's calling out to over-emotional, distracted me constantly. I know the pain it causes me and how bummed out I get because of the fact that I have a hard time connecting with my kids. I wish my kids understood the love I have for them so they'd be compelled to say it back or that we'd be able to communicate that. Disability or not, I feel God in that. How often do we forget to tell God we love him? How often we forget to thank God for whatever? Sure, this thing's blowing up and these people are beheading these people and this, that, and the other thing's happening. And we need to pray for all those situations, but we can thank God for the day he's given us. We can thank him for the blessings he's given us before and the blessings he's going to give us in the end. Even if the crazy volcano blows up and burns everything to the ground, even if the worst thing happens, we're guaranteed heaven. We can be thankful for what we get at the end. And that's crazy. So let's thank God. I can see God, the Father, in all these things. And I can see myself as a child in all of these things. So if this resonates with you at all, if you'd stand with me, we always come to the end, to the altar at the end of church, and we pray, and we pour out our hearts for God. I would encourage you, if you were to come to the altar, to listen for God's voice and then respond. We'll return the love that God has given to us as we sing and we pray. If you are here and you would like special prayer, you have something you want to pray about with somebody, if you come in within the first 2 feet of the altar, me or Marshall will pray with you. If you want to pray and you just want to be left alone to do your thing with God, that's fine. Just if you're not in the first 2 feet, we won't mess with you. But come to the altar and let's pray to the Lord and thank Him for the love that He has for us.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.